If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We got lots to cover here on the show. Some fantasy baseball, of course, fantasy or reality, Sports Grid 60, our normal show here for a Friday. Thanks for being with us on the show. But Davis, of course, there's one place to start, and that is the Golden State Warriors, who very early on in that game last night against the Boston Celtics in the first quarter kind of got the inclination we may be headed toward a seventh game. But the Celtics, unfortunately, have done what they've done a lot of this postseason, which is basically go completely cold, only putting a 90 spot up. And Davis, in this kind of tenure, in this era of the NBA, 90 points is not going to win you many games, and the Warriors are champs.
The Warriors are indeed the champions. I think we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about some of the legacy stuff here for Klay, for Draymond, and particularly for Curry. Craig, this whole time I said the Warriors were going to win. I bet on the Warriors. I hit them on the series price. I bet them in a lot of these individual games. And by the way, again, last night we had another team where the number didn't matter, right? It was that was kind of like the story of the playoffs, was that the spread didn't matter. So you were just kind of better off betting whichever team you thought was going to win. I do think this, though, if the Boston Celtics got a month to go rest, go to the beach, hyperbaric chamber, get their bodies right, I think they were better. I really do. I mean, I think that the Celtics' best lineup was better than the Warriors' best lineup, but they just ran out of gas. I mean, we really saw it with Tatum the last two games, right? It was just the guy just looked like he was dead on his feet.
Yeah, fair point there for sure. All right, let's get to our headlines on the show. We'll begin with the Warriors. They win the NBA Finals. Steph Curry wins the MVP. And Golden State picks up another trophy. And so does Draymond Green. So does Klay Thompson. So does Steph Curry. Congratulations to all of them, Poole, Wiggins, everybody else. World Cup announces yesterday. Very interesting announcement for 2026. The USA getting 11 host cities. Mexico getting 3. Canada getting 2. In fact, Davis, South Florida actually awarded a site. So there's going to be the World Cup happening here in South Florida in 2026. Pretty cool. U.S. Open, I want to dive a little bit deeper in now, but Adam Hadwin leading the U.S. Open after one day, shooting a 4-under. I know Rory's in contention as well. Last night, Anthony Rizzo walks it off. Yankees sweep the Rays. They've won 7 straight. Really tough to beat them. Also, Mike Trout, I do want to mention, hit 2 home runs last night for the Los Angeles Angels. So he is back and having a great season, no doubt. Schwarber went deep too. Tied for the National League lead. Let's get into the U.S. Open here a little bit, Davis. What did you see after day one, and where do you think we're headed from here?
Well, the course is super tough. I mean, guys are losing their balls in the rough, left, right, and center this morning. Adam Hadwin was on top yesterday. He is already 3 over par this morning, looking like the cut is probably going to be +4, although there are storms brewing in Massachusetts right now. And if it does rain, if we get, a good 45 minutes or hour of sustained rain, the guys who are teeing off in the afternoon, we might see the morning wave get screwed, because the guys who tee off in the afternoon, what's the difficult thing to do at the U.S. Open? Holding it on the greens, right? If you roll off the green to the back, you're going out of that crazy rough. If you roll off to the side, who knows? So if it's nice and soft, I mean, I think we could see some 68s, some 67s from this afternoon wave. So we could see the cut, get down to like 3 or something like that. Right now we have a guy, Craig, I love professional golf. I'm really in this stuff. I have never heard of MJ Dafu, who is 4 under par right now. He is solo first. And then we have the group of Taryn, Lingmuth, Rory, and Joel Damon, who are all sitting there at 3 under par. But the course is just playing super difficult right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, that name sounded like somebody in the Kenobi show. I've never heard of that guy either, so no question about that for sure. All right, so what do you think about the World Cup stuff here, Davis? I mean, is this something that's going to finally gravitate here in the United States? Because with so many spots coming here to the States, I know everyone was at, like, bars last night watching it in South Florida to see if they were going to get a spot, and they ended up getting one. They're going to play at Hard Rock Stadium where the Dolphins play. You know, is this a game changer, you think, coming in a few years? I know that the passionate soccer fans, Davis, all around the world watch the World Cup, but you know how it works in the U.S. If the U.S. is out, they're not interested. This is just what happens.
Well, luckily for the U.S., when you are the country hosting, you automatically qualify. So even if the U.S. men's team stinks 4 years from now, they will at least be in the they will at least be in the World Cup. So good for them. Although I think they. The U.S. men's team, kind of for the first time in my adult life, they've actually been passable. I think in qualifying, it was the first time they ever fielded an entire 11, starting 11 group of guys who all played in Europe. So there were no MLS players in the starting 11. And Kansas City got a game. So I will be there. I will be attending a World Cup game in 2026. I'll be there with bells on. I am very excited. You know, what is this going to do for soccer here? Probably nothing, right? At the end of the day, probably not. And in fact, I just saw that Apple TV has the exclusive streaming rights for MLS for the next 10 years, which is good for players in the MLS getting paid, but quite bad for people watching the MLS because you're just not going to be able to turn it on, right? You have to pay for it.
Yeah, no, the streaming is nonstop now, and a huge deal for the MLS and for Apple, no question. All right, coming up next, time to dive into season-long fantasy baseball. We do this once a week with Gray Albright from Razzball, so he will join us next. We'll talk about some hot performances and specifically wonder if one pitcher in the National League can continue it. So Gray joins the grid next. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Fourth Grid. One quick note from Major League Baseball, future Hall of Famer, in my opinion, maybe not everybody's, but in my opinion, should be unanimous for me, Yadier Molina is going on the injured list. Apparently his knees are sort of giving out in what he has said to be his last season in baseball. So probably the right move here with putting Molina on the injured list. Let him get right, bring him back sometime in July. And then have him finish out the season. The Cardinals are playing really well. All right, joining us now here on the show, as he always does here on Friday, Gray Albright of Razz Ball. We're going to go over some fantasy performers, and we're getting closer to the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season. Gray, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, actually, real quick about Molina, is he a first ballot guy for you?
I think so. I think that you get to that point and, you know, Gray, I'm trying to project guys 5 years out from now, thinking like if he's not a first, you could probably have the argument that he's not, but then you compare him to other players that potentially will or will not get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I got him going in. He's the best catcher the last 20 years for me. But.
So one of my favorite pastimes is yelling at Hall of Fame voters during the offseason. And I think Molina is a Hall of Famer, and I am kind of a small hall guy, but I think Molina's like a guy you're like, this generation, what other catchers are you putting in? Molina is like a guy who he led them to World Series. He was like terrific with our pitchers, his longevity. Yeah. I mean, he was so good for so long. I don't see how he doesn't make it, to be honest. But yeah. We'll see. There's some questionable Hall of Fame voters out there, so we'll see.
No, it's going to be tough. Listen, Buster Posey will set the precedent the year before because he retired this year. So basically, we'll see how he does. But I would think Pujols and Molina would go in.
Sorry, not to interrupt, but I think Molina is a Hall of Famer before Posey. Anyway,
I agree. I agree, but Posey very popular. Who knows? Well, that'll sort of set the precedent for it. All right, let's get to fantasy this season. The Red Sox had a brutal start. They've really picked it up, Davis. I'm sorry, Gray Davis is watching, so I'm seeing him in the background. Rafael Devers, let's talk about him. He's had a really nice season thus far, 16 home runs, 40 runs driven in, 85 hits. In terms of fantasy, he's pretty much delivered virtually what we thought he would, except for this very high batting average, which seems to be a little bit out of character, considering there's been a season, Gray, where very few players are hitting above 300. So let's jump in on Devers. Is this an MVP-type campaign? 35 home runs, 100 runs driven in, 320 this season? Is that possible?
You know, actually, speaking of Hall of Famers, I mean, Rafael Devers, it's still a little early to say he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. I do think he's headed in that direction. But you know who? He reminds me of another guy who's actually a future Hall of Famer, and that's Adrian Beltre. He didn't really expect Beltre to have like the batting averages so high for so long, but he really ended up being like when he was with the Dodgers, he seemed like a 240 hitter and he wasn't really that great. But then he went and he moved to Texas and he became like this great average hitter. And, you know, Devers obviously didn't move anywhere, but he is, I think he's become a great average hitter. I mean, his expected batting average on fastballs is 330. If you can't get a fastball by a guy, I mean, at some point, someone's throwing a fastball to him. And if you've ever watched Devers, like he's really able to make good use of Fenway in that he can hit a homer really easily in right field with a pesky pole over there, pull the ball. And then against the wall, he can hit doubles all day. You know, Fenway is really great for Babbitt. So it's going to already produce a higher batting average than most parks. Rafael Devers, I truly believe he is going to be like special all year. I have no problem at all saying that. Like, maybe he comes down a little bit in average, but I don't think it's going to come down that much. I think Rafael Devers, aside from speed, which he doesn't really have, like he's never really going to give. He's not going to produce a ton of steals, but he is going to hit a good deal of homers. He's going to hit for a good average. He's going to have great counting stats, runs and RBIs. Because he's in a great spot in a good lineup. Yeah, I love Rafael Devers. I think he's really I think he's really special. And I would probably be looking to buy high if I needed a third baseman because, you know, third base is a pretty weak position for fantasy. You have Jose Ramirez, Arenado, who's getting older. But Devers really is just like he's so good and he's locked in. And, I actually really like Rafael Devers. I'm happy that you brought him up because I'm a big fan.
All right. So there you go. Still buying in on Devers is Gray. Let's get to another player that was drafted extremely high and, let's be honest, has not completely pulled in the dividends on it. That's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I guess the question that we have to ask, Gray, about Vlad Jr. is it his fault this season that he only has 38 runs driven in? Because, quite frankly, Toronto's offense – it's been good, but it has not been as good as I think that they thought it would be. And so you look at these numbers and you say, wow, these are perfectly fine. But I mean, look, in the end, players sometimes, as you know, Gray, they'll try to do too much. Do you get the sense of that with Vlad, or do you just think at the end of the season, we're looking at 280, 40? And driving at 100 may be tough if no one gets on in front of him, but even his OPS isn't what it was last year.
Yeah, no, you're not incorrect. You know, Bobichet's having a little bit of a rough start to the year. Behind Vlad in the lineup, Teoscar Hernandez hasn't been great. He's been actually one of the worst top 25 picks overall. It's, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is so interesting because it's so clear his issue right now is his launch angle. So in 2020, his launch angle was pretty low. It was like just below 5, which is essentially means you're going to hit the ball. You're swinging really flat. So you're going to be hitting the ball, a lot of line drives, some ground balls, not a ton of fly balls, so not a lot of power. But then last year, his launch angle got more pronounced. It went up to around 10, and you saw more fly balls and him driving the ball over the fence, which was really excellent and what you wanted to see from Vlad Guerrero Jr. Now this year, it's exactly back to where it was when it was much flatter. So unfortunately, I wouldn't be surprised if his batting average comes up, like pretty high up, actually. His expected batting average right now is over 300. So he, and he's hitting, you know, like you said, so he's probably a good 50 points under where he could be. I would say Vlad Guerrero Jr. is probably a buy low on his batting average.
Okay.
But his power, I don't think his power is coming back, unfortunately. Not only without some swing changes, which is not easy to do in the middle of the season.
No, definitely not. Home Run Derby participant as well in the past. We'll see about this year. All right, Tony Gonsolin is having a fantastic season, Gray. We've seen plenty of pitchers with a sub-2 ERA only win a handful of games. Sandy Alcantara may be a good example of that. I think Alcantara is the Cy Young favorite right now, but Gonsolin is doing his best to challenge as well as Joe Musgrove. 1.42 ERA, a whip under 1. Is this sustainable? On a team like the Dodgers, I feel like it is with the wins. What about everything else?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Gonsolin has one of those years like the Rick Porcello year when he won the Cy Young, like where Gonsolin just keeps it going, wins 20 games, and has like a great ERA, and you're like, where did this come from? And then next year he gets overdrafted. I honestly, if you look at his peripherals, Tony Gonsolin isn't quite this good. I mean, he's got an 8.5 K per nine, a 2.8 walk per nine. So he's probably closer to a 3.5 ERA guy. So regression could be coming for him. I like him because the Dodgers are good. He will get wins, but I wouldn't be surprised if he just is not quite this good in the second half.
Well, they're definitely going to need him with Kershaw and Bueller being out, and Dustin May, by the way, on the road to return. All right, Gray, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up again next week.
Thank you.
All right, Gray Albright with us. Follow him on Twitter at Razzball and the Streaminator, helping you set your pitching options for the upcoming week in fantasy baseball season-long format. How about DFS format? Davis will join us. We'll set a lineup for the Friday night slate next year on Fantasy Sports Bet.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish and Davis Maddock with the NBA season coming to a conclusion. Lots of DFS baseball for Davis and I, especially as we close out the month of June and training camps begin in the NFL next month. Davis, a Friday night slate, always very popular. It seems like, I believe if I'm not mistaken, every single team is playing tonight. There's even a doubleheader between Philadelphia and Washington that starts at 1:05 Eastern. But beyond that, how does the slate look for you this evening?
So we have our 12-game slate here. Not sometimes we do get those 15 gamers on a Friday, which we really appreciate. Pretty interesting slate, I think. I mean, there is a lot of really strong starting pitching options, and anytime you have a bunch of aces going, that is really interesting from an ownership perspective, you know, because there's not a ton of gas cans going. I mean, even some of the teams where they don't have their best guy going, it's guys you don't really want to stack against. You know, your John Grays, your Zach Plesacs, your Madison Bumgarners. Ross Stripling is pitching for Toronto. So pretty interesting slate to break down, I think.
All right, so let's dive into it. And by the way, these picks are priced on DraftKings, so make sure that you pull out your app and set your lineup right now. Also, you can get them optimized courtesy of dailyroto.com. Starting pitchers tonight, Davis is choosing Carlos Rodon of the San Francisco Giants. He is very highly priced at 9,900. And then, Robbie Ray, Davis, has not had the season that the Blue Jays would have expected. Naturally they let him go, went to Seattle. And I kind of wonder where you sort of stand with Robbie Ray at this point, because, you know, certainly it seems like Toronto knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, he is more like early career Robbie Ray now, where he is definitely walking more guys than he did last year. The home runs have come back to bite him a little bit, but his price has also adjusted for that on DraftKings, where last season he was kind of, you know, like a $10,000 pitcher for long stretches of the year. Now he's sitting down there in the mid 8,000s. He was very strong against Boston in his most recent start. He was able to get through seven innings, only allowed three hits, only walked one guy. Interestingly enough, only got four strikeouts in that start, but he does have a couple double-digit strikeout games this year, 10 strikeouts against Oakland, 10 strikeouts against Philadelphia. So I think the underlying skill set is still there. And, I mean, yeah, the Angels have Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, but if you're getting around those guys right now in their lineup, you know, Taylor Ward is on the IL, Anthony Rendon is on the IL, Robbie Ray will have the platoon advantage on Brandon Marsh and on Jared Walsh. So we kind of like when you have the platoon advantage on those secondary, and I guess the platoon advantage on Ohtani as well. Not that it really seems to matter that much to Ohtani. So feeling, I mean, I suppose it is just a good bet on Robbie Ray. And then Rendon is I think, just a stone-cold lock here. I mean, he's going to be super highly owned, but he's going up against Pittsburgh, had 30 points against the Dodgers in his most recent start, struck out eight Dodgers, only allowed two hits in that game. And he's just been so good this year, you know, going deep into every start, more strikeouts than innings pitched, 3.1 ERA, and he is going to, I mean, he is rightfully going to be very popular against Pittsburgh tonight.
Yeah, as he should, for sure. Pirates are not playing nearly as well as they were early on in the season. All right, let's take a look at the offensive selections for this evening. Davis is going to go at catcher with Jorge Alfaro of the Padres, who is certainly looks a lot better than he did with Miami. There's no doubt about that. CJ Cron, easy choice here at 4,800 for the Rockies. Nolan Gorman of the Cardinals is priced tonight at 4,000. Brendan Donovan is priced at 3,200 at shortstop. Bryson Stott will start for Davis. Stott is a cheap option, and you know, certainly against righties, you would consider him. Unfortunately, in spring training, Davis, Stott was the hot name that we were talking about a ton, and boy, those numbers have not translated to the regular season with him.
Yeah. So our Coors game tonight, we have the San Diego Padres traveling to Colorado, and it's a pretty good spot for them as they are a very right-handed heavy team, and they're going up against Kyle Freeland, who is not as bad as Andrew Senzatella, but definitely not very good. So the Padres, all these guys are going to be pretty popular. Love to get a cheap catcher in Coors with the platoon advantage. That's our guy, Jorge Alfaro. Then on the other side of that game, we have CJ Cron selected here. He's going up against Mackenzie Gore, who actually has been pretty good since being called up. But, you know, Craig knows I love CJ Cron. That's one of my guys. He's got the platoon advantage in Coors. We played him over Paul Goldschmidt the other night. I think Goldschmidt had, you know, probably a billion points the other night when we didn't play him. But, you know, Cron is, he's grinding along, 285, 14 home runs, certainly having, you know, he's having a good season for him. And then I like this matchup quite a bit for our Cardinals guys here. Craig knows that Michael Wacha is basically one of my favorite guys to get batters in against, because Wacha does not miss any bats. And anytime you have a guy who gets by on control, if things start to go awry for him, like if he does happen to have a bad day with control, or the zone is tighter for him, it's not like Michael Wacha can go into the bag and be like, all right, I'm going to gas past these guys, you know? And so that's kind of when you can get those really long innings. Guys are batting around, which is great for us in daily fantasy. You know, obviously we like to have, we like to have the compounding effort. So Gorman and Donovan feeling pretty good about them there. Stott is our cheap guy. I mean, just taking guys against Washington at this point, I mean, it just kind of feels like cheating being able to go up against Washington right now. They have Paulo Espino starting. That will probably be more of a bullpen game for the Washington Nationals. I don't believe Espino is fully stretched out at this point. I think the deepest he's gotten into a start this year is 53 pitches. So hard to imagine much better of a scenario for the Philadelphia Phillies than going up against the dreadful Washington Nationals and their dreadful bullpen. The Phillies are going to be pretty popular, but Stott has, he's kind of been in and out of the lineup this year, not hitting for an exceptionally good average, but has displayed some power at the plate, hit a home run, I think at the beginning of last week. So he's there. He's our cheap guy to fill in for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah. Patrick Corbin, I don't know how many runs he gave up in total yesterday, but it felt like it was a million. He's having a horrific season. And by the way, the guy who pitches in the early game for Washington, Davis, don't even look at his stats, because you'll you'll want to look at an over, I think, in that game too. All right, outfield. Let's go to the outfield here. Luis Robert, an outstanding performer for the Chicago White Sox. He is priced at $5,000 tonight. I am going to, unfortunately, have to root against Jock Peterson. He's going against my guy, Zach Thompson of the Pirates, who actually has been really good for the Pirates over the last month. But righty-lefty matchup, understand it. $4,500 for Jock tonight. And then Randall Grichuk is priced at $3,500, naturally going with a little mini core stack of Crone and Grichuk this evening.
Yep. I mean, Jock, pretty much in these spots when Jock is up against a right-handed starting pitcher. And I know that this is your guy. And he has gotten good results this year, but I just didn't see anything at this price range that really leapt out at me. You know, at $4,500, like, you know, he's next to guys like Jorge Soler. I guess Schwarber is sitting there at $4,600. Mm-hmm. He's pretty similar, right? Left-handed guy. Right-handed pitcher. I think Schwarber will probably be fairly popular, though, and I would imagine Jock will not be. And I actually really like this spot as well for the Chicago White Sox going up against Framber Valdez. Framber, you know, obviously, like, not a bad starting pitcher or anything like that, but the White Sox can just get so right-handed against these left-handed starting pitchers. And I actually wonder if Framber going so deep into games this year would kind of work against them, where, you know, he is pitching to kind of a metronome. You know, guys get into their routine, and I just feel like, I don't know, it's just kind of hard to get through the White Sox order three times. So I wonder if it's kind of one of those things where the White Sox start out kind of cold, Framber's doing his thing, he's chugging along, and then the third time through, they really start to get them. And Robert, obviously, is an incredible fantasy baseball player, power, speed, all that stuff. And Grichuk, again, just one of my guys. Randall Grichuk is a really good right-handed hitter. At this stage in his career, he really does not hit right-handed pitching anymore, which is, I think, why the Blue Jays let him go and opted to bring in Raimel Tapia, because if you're going to have someone who can't hit, you might as well have them be a platoon player. And the Blue Jays were already loaded up with right-handed bats, so they swapped Tapia and Grichuk, and Grichuk gets the platoon and course tonight.
Yeah, I think the Blue Jays are far from done. I think they got to make some, you know, changes to that team for sure. Get a left-handed bat of some kind, no doubt. And with Framber Valdez, really interesting because he's not going to give up home runs. I mean, he's a hard sinker guy, so it's really hard to give up the home runs, but he gives up hits. And so if Robert gets on, he's stealing second base, you're adding to your DFS lineup. So, you know, honestly, stolen bases, kind of, I mean, not equal to home runs, but kind of as important if he can pile them on. And I think Robert will steal a couple bases on him tonight. I think there's a good shot of that happening. All right, so that's your DFS lineup set by Davis. Make sure you go to dailyroto.com, check out the latest in daily fantasy in Major League Baseball, and help you get your lineup set, no doubt. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to take care of a little fantasy or reality, our final one probably of the NBA season. Well, the draft is next week. We'll dive back into that too, but we'll focus on Steph Curry coming up. We'll also focus on a couple of pop culture questions next as well. One surrounding Tom Hanks, the other surrounding Drake. Both of them are in the news, so we'll have that. The Sports Grid 60 as well. Also invite you to check out Newswire. That show is coming up later today at 2 o'clock Eastern as we get ready for the next NHL game between Tampa Bay and Colorado. So we're back with more fantasy sports today here on this Friday. Hope you're off to a good start. We'll continue it coming up next right here on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Matic, and we're about to hit some fantasy or reality. But before we do that, I want to invite you to follow us on social media on our different channels at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread. And if you have a question for us on fantasy or reality, make sure you ask us at Sports Grid TV on Twitter, and copy us. Let us know your question. And if we like it, maybe we will use it on the show. Davis, the Atlanta Braves have won 14 games in a row. It's not part of our standard fantasy or reality, but when we come back here on Monday, Davis, my fantasy reality question before we get to the real ones, will the Braves still be on this winning streak come Monday? What do you got?
So the Braves are in a homestand against the Chicago Cubs, I believe. Or no, they're at the Chicago Cubs. I'm going to say the Cubs get one on Sunday, the getaway, ooh, you know, the getaway day game. I'm going to say, you know, we got Acuna taking his day off, you know, Duvall batting cleanup or whatever. And I'm going to say the Cubs get one on Sunday afternoon.
All right. We will see. Longest winning streak in baseball this season. All right. Let's fire it up. Time for fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, let the debates begin. Steph Curry has won another NBA championship, and I think that I've got some good experience with point guards and guards in the history of the NBA. Like, I've seen some unbelievable ones play. I've seen Isaiah Thomas. I've seen John Stockton. I've seen Steve Nash, all of these players, Jason Kidd, all Hall of Famers. But Steph Curry is piling on these championships, Davis, and, you know, certainly goes into the conversation. We'll get the answer here. Fantasy reality, Davis. Steph Curry is the greatest point guard of all time. Is this fantasy or reality?
So it's him or Magic Johnson. Those are the two guys you have to hold up against each other. So this is Steph's resume now. 8-time All-Star, All-NBA. He's won the scoring title twice. He's won the MVP twice, one of them being the only time anyone has ever been the unanimous MVP. 4 titles, 1 Finals MVP. He's won the steals title. He is the all-time NBA leader in 3 points made, and it's not even close. He has, I believe, 250 more than Ray Allen. So by the time Steph Curry is done, you know, he might have 500 more 3-pointers made than anyone else. He is a career 48%. 41%, 90% shooter. To me, not only is he the greatest point guard of all time, he might be, I think he's pretty close to one of the 5 greatest basketball players of all time. And I think, by the way, the biggest thing of his legacy is that he has completely fundamentally changed the way that professional basketball is played. There's a clear before and after of when Steph Curry became a star and how all the other 29 teams in the league played. So for me, I have reality greatest of all time.
Yeah, this is so hard for me because I was, you know, growing up in the Magic Johnson era and watched him play in person in All-Star games, in games in the NBA. I mean, I was younger. I went to games in Miami where Magic Johnson played. I saw him play in person. It was like him or Jordan. But again, I mean, look, even if it's close in the end, when Curry's done, it's going to be a reality. So I'm just going to say reality now. I mean, there's no reason to wait. He's going to end up being the best point guard of all time. Even if it's close, I probably still would give it to Curry at the moment. Magic to be one of my favorite players in the history of the league. There's no denying it. And if we're basing this on championships, there's no question that Curry wins out here. The other part of this that I would say is that the Jordan conversation, I refuse to give that one up to LeBron. I'm not doing that. I never will. Jordan's still, to me, best player of all time. I have not seen a player that's going to come around that's going to break that.
What if LeBron wins another title? What if LeBron wins one at like 39 or 40? No?
I'm still got Michael Jordan. I still have Michael Jordan. Yeah. I don't think there's anybody that's ever going to be able to give that up for me with that. But I'm willing to do Curry with Magic Johnson. I'm willing to do that. So I got reality.
I'm proud of you. Yeah. I'm proud of you for giving that one up.
I can give it up. I can't give Jordan up, though. That see, again, watching Jordan Davis was when he was playing. And again, it's a different time. I understand there's a lot of other, you know, streaming options and the internet and everything changed. But when Michael Jordan was playing, Davis, you were doing nothing else. Like, that was a mandatory event, television, in person, whatever. And maybe that's probably why I'm jaded by that, is because I have other choices than to watch LeBron. Like while I feel it's really important to watch him, I can click something else. There was nothing else to click. Like, it was, it, I mean, that was it. That was what was on. You had parties surrounding his games. Like, it was just a phenomenon, like a Mike Tyson phenomenon to a degree. But anyway, I got to give it up to Curry. There's no argument there. Reality, even if it's close now, won't be in the future. All right. Very, very dicey video posted by TMZ of Tom Hanks, who, of course, has played in sports movies, League of Their Own, arguably one of the most popular, I think, American actors of all time, I would say, at this point. You know, generally doesn't make a bad movie. He and his wife, Rita Wilson, I believe they were at the airport, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, the video that was shown, it looks like, yes, there is some paparazzi there for sure. But very clearly, this was someone that was seeking an autograph of Tom Hanks that absolutely bumped accidentally into his wife. And you rarely see this, Davis. Tom Hanks goes ballistic on this autograph seeker, throwing F-bombs around, saying, stay away from my wife, etc. I would ask you, Davis, you know, honest question, someone trying to grab his autograph, fantasy or reality, Tom Hanks was out of line in berating the autograph seeker. By the way, it looks like he berated the wrong guy as well in the video. Fantasy or reality? Was he out of line?
Yeah, I'm gonna say reality, because part of the deal that you enter into with being a celebrity is being in the public eye. Now, that doesn't mean you have to sign every autograph, and it doesn't mean that you have to consent to, you know, letting yourself be bothered at dinner or at the airport or whatever. You know, I would see that in Kansas City every once in a while. There, I would see one of the Chiefs players out, and sometimes I would talk to them, and sometimes I wouldn't, right? You know, if it's you just kind of got to feel the environment. You know, like dinner is not a good place to do it, right? When they're eating, they're with their family. But like, you know, if you're at you know, Target and you see Mike Moustakas or whatever, like that's probably fine. Just kind of feeling it out. But what you can't do is you can't be in this position of like, your life is so amazing because people want to watch you pretend to be someone else on a screen, right? So you can be like, yeah, you know, we're not doing this today. Like, you know, we're just here. We're kind of stressed out. Mm-hmm. It's the airport, whatever. But you can't berate someone. You can't be dropping F-bombs. Like that is just part of the social contract you enter into when this becomes your career and when you live your life in the public eye. So I got reality. I got out of line here.
Yeah, it's funny that we both agree on this one. And a lot of people see it the other way, Davis, where they feel like he was doing a great job defending his wife because he almost tripped her. I actually agree with you. And I agree for different reasons. I think that this is in play for Tom Hanks if he knows who tripped her, if he very clearly did not. And unfortunately, and again, I don't know who the kid was getting autographs, or the adult, by the way, was getting autographs. But he was laying in on someone who it was not the one that tripped her, you know? And so maybe one of his assistants could have said, hey, it wasn't him, it was this guy, whatever. And then maybe that's more in bounds at that point. But I agree with you, Davis. I mean, look, this is just part of the deal. Things like this are going to happen. People love you. The other part of this too is probably these people are selling the autographs. Yes, that factors in the equation. Tom Hanks probably knows that as well. But he lost his cool there a little bit, gotta say it, and yelling at the wrong guy over the whole thing too. So find the dude and then go in on the right one. But if you don't know, just keep on going, you know? Just keep on going. And did you see the face, Davis, of this poor kid who yelled at? He's like, I mean, he's never gonna forget this. This kid's life is ruined. He's like, oh my gosh, deer in headlights. He's like, it wasn't even me, it was this guy, you know? So part of the gig, I guess. All right, unbeknownst to me, Drake had a new album, a new, you know, drop last night digitally. Everyone's talking about it today. I'm seeing extremely mixed reviews. Full transparency here, I'm not someone that usually jumps immediately onto this, so that's why we have Davis here. Fantasy or reality, you plan on listening to Drake's new album, which I believed dropped yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I listened to it already. It stinks. It's really, it's just boring. It is just boring Drake music. It's very, very mellow. Not like, you know, not any classic, you know, songs of the summer. No diss tracks. No like good, like real, like club music or whatever. Nothing on the level of, you know, Back to Back or Hotline Bling or Sicko Mode or any of those really popular Drake songs of the last 5-6 years. I mean, it's just, it's really just really average music. So I listened to it. It's fine. Probably not going to make, not, I don't think any of these songs are going to make my, my fairly consistent listening rotation.
Yeah, this is going to be a fantasy for me. And that, that's kind of, I know that's disappointing to hear that, Davis, because I know that you're usually up on a lot of the hot music, but no, not for me. You know, these things usually find their way, you know, to me via YouTube or something else, but you know, Davis, no, first blush, not gonna catch this, unfortunately for Drake. But Drake still has a lot of classic stuff, right? Like, I think fair to say he's already made his imprint regardless of what happens, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Drake, he could retire tomorrow and just be like, I'm going to go work in the Toronto Raptors front office or whatever as a hype man. And he would be one of the greatest best-selling musicians of our time. I mean, Drake has done the thing that's kind of hard to do in music of both influencing like a whole generation of people.
Right.
And then also making music that is influenced by those same like younger generation, like you hear, you know, him making a different type of rap music, different features, different producers and things like that. I don't have anything bad to say about Drake. It's just, I just put this in the category of like, he put it out, it was fine, but not something that I think is like great or groundbreaking or anything like that.
Yeah, so to give you an idea of my, well, first of all, I'm very much into old school hip hop rap. You know, everyone knows that. I mean, DJ System here, records, the whole thing. But to give you an idea of what I'm doing on Sunday, Davis, I mean, this is something very, very hot. I'm going to see REO Speedwagon and Styx this weekend. I know that you got that on your autoplay for sure. Like, me and my wife, we're heading up there. Hottest show in town. That's our plan. I know you're big fans of those two. You could probably name like 10 songs a piece, right? From either group.
I like REO Speedwagon. Who is the other one?
Styx.
Who's the other one? Styx. I've seen Styx too. So I haven't seen REO Speedwagon, but I've seen Styx. Yeah, my dad was a big classic rock head. So I know all those bands, you know, Pink Floyd, love Pink Floyd. I'm on a huge Pink Floyd kick. I think I've listened to Wish You Were Here like 15 times the last 2 days. That's probably the greatest classic rock song ever. Maybe we'll do that as Fantasy Reality sometime next week. Greatest yeah, rock song ever.
I'm headed Sunday to see that concert. We bought these tickets like 6 months ago. So going to go Sunday night. That'll be my plans. What are your plans for the weekend? Hopefully they are solid, but we got to take a quick time out here on the show because Davis is getting ready to take off for the weekend. I have another show, though, coming for you guys 2:00 Eastern on Newswire. So we will take care of the Sports Grid 60 next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Don't forget, Newswire coming your way right here on Sports Grid, 2:00 Eastern. We will talk then for sure. But before we get out of here on this Friday, let's see what's on the mind of Davis Maddock. Here is his Sports Grid 60.
The U.S. Open, Craig, it's the worst major. I just want to get this on the record in front of everyone right now. It's definitely, for me, British Open, Masters, PGA Championship, US Open. I don't like to watch professional golfers shoot two over and consider that a good round. Like, I mean, every once in a while you'll see one of these amazing shots out of the rough or the fescue or whatever. But, you know, I have it on here while we're on the show, you know, just kind of monitoring. And every time I look over, one of my guys is like standing with his leg above his head in the trap or what. Like, it's just, it's a fine golf event, but I do think they kind of go a little bit too hard with how difficult they make these courses.
Yeah, fair enough. I believe in sports, we have our new Derek Jeter with the media. And his name, Davis ain't going to like to hear this, is Patrick Mahomes. Now, Mahomes was given a wonderful opportunity yesterday to discuss Tyreek Hill and all the things that Hill said about Mahomes in the podcast. Mahomes, who never really says anything controversial, and he's arguably the greatest quarterback in the NFL. If not, he's second or third, chose to take the high road. Said nothing, essentially. Hey, great teammate. Loved him very much. Wished him all the best. And in sports, yeah, we like our athletes to be honest, but I think that we're getting another one in Patrick Mahomes, who is going to go through his entire career, go straight to the Hall of Fame, be the best player of all time at his position, or one of them, and not going to get a great soundbite. Kind of feels like that's where we're headed with old Pat. All right, that'll do it for the show. Thanks, of course, to our graphics department and LTN. Thanks to Alex for filling in for Brett today. For Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern if you're around for it, for Newswire. But until then, have a great weekend. Davis and I'll be back Monday morning, 11 a.m. for Fantasy Sports Today. Until then, see ya.